Hey there guys, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. It's men's brekkie time again. Yep, that time, my favourite time on the calendar each and every month here at my local church where we get all the guys together for a beautiful feast. We got that all-important fellowship, building up each other in faith, and of course we get to feed here on the Word of God, the bread of life. And that's the whole point of it. I love that we get to do this in our local church. I hope if you're watching from somewhere else that you too get to do the same thing. If not, pray about it. Maybe you can be the one to bring it and make it possible and make it so. All right, open your Bible for me. Let's get straight into today's message. 1 Peter chapter 1. And perhaps, can I ask, as we're going through, if you have pen and if you have some paper, take some notes today. Take some notes and then make a note after 24 hours to go back and reread your notes, to settle these things deep in your heart, to have them in your mind set. Yes, these are things that I'm going to look at doing. Because last month we talked about the habits that chain us in our lives. This month we're going to look at helpful habits. So have that pen, have that paper. That's a habit, a good habit on its own. Yeah? All right. Let's jump in. 1 Peter chapter 1, just one verse for the moment, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, if you haven't caught up with it yet, it might be worthwhile listening first. Our message from last month, we looked a lot into 1 John, where Jesus, it says, was manifested to destroy the works of the devil and to take away the sins of the world. For this purpose, it says, he was manifested. And so we looked at those bad habits. We looked at the things that often we as men too often struggle with, deal with, and want to push back against, but just feel powerless to do. These are habits. We looked at things like outbursts of anger. We looked at pornography, other secret sexual sin. We looked at, well, this one's so common these days, checking out, hanging back too much at work, coming from work, going straight to the man shed, sitting next to the family with the phone and doom scrolling, not being present with them at that time. We looked at so many of these different types of things, and I put my hand up saying I've been guilty of all of them at different times, all of them sadly. We looked at how a habit is formed. We looked at understanding that it's either avoidance of pain, usually, and it turns then into acquisition of pleasure. We looked at how we feel a thing, therefore we do a thing which changes the feeling, and then we do it again. And that habit then is formed. But we also looked at how to break that pattern. How to break it by stopping it at the thought level, taking every thought captive in Jesus Christ, as the Word says we are to do. We interrupt it and we replace the thought as its beginning. Therefore, the pattern of behavior changes. Well, this month I want to take it on to part two, if I can call it that, helpful habits. Habits that strengthen a man, not pull him down. Habits that lift a man up, that steady a man's walk, making his path straight. That's what I want to look at today. Just three simple, simple things that if you're not doing them already, that you would adopt them, because I promise you, they make such a magnificent difference in our walk in faith in Christ. All right, keep your finger there, a note in 1 Peter. Turn to Luke chapter 5 for me. Now in Luke chapter 5, there's a lot of action going on, a whole bunch of different things. We see Jesus calling the fishermen, James, John, Andrew, Peter. We see them all coming. We see he preaches a message to the people on the shoreline. We see Jesus cleansing a leper. We see that the paralytic lowered down through the roof as he's preaching and teaching also from a house in Capernaum. We see this questioning from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so on. We see him questioned about fasting. We see so much in Luke chapter 5. And right in the middle of it, there's this little piece that we so often miss, this verse at verse 16. It says, and so he, this is Jesus, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And this is one of, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times or more in the Gospel of Luke where we see Jesus taking time to go and pray. In fact, if you were to compare them, you will see that Luke writes more of Jesus taking time to go and pray than any of the other Gospels. And I find that curious. The Son of God setting aside time to go and pray. I mean, it's not that he needs to separate himself from, you know, from the world or from his ministry, but here's the key. He understood something. He understood the immeasurable importance of constantly drawing near to the Father for strength, for clarity, for refueling of that ministry. He understood it. So here we have the Son of God still needing prayer. Oh boy, how much more us. Now I can hear some of you. Oh yes, yes, but Paul, I'm not in ministry, you might say. Yes, you are. That conversation you had with a co-worker, that's ministry. That conversation you have with a brother, encouraging them, that's ministry. Maybe that conversation you have with a son who hasn't been to church for some time, that's ministry, even if it's just showing love and not necessarily declaring the gospel, which obviously you already know. That grace that you show your wife or your children, that's ministry, folks. That point of integrity at work, that moment when you know that if you could just join in with the boys, that you'd be accepted. That moment, that's ministry. Quiet generosity, perhaps, towards a brother. Maybe to a family in need. That is ministry. And if you do any of these things more than once, you're going to need to take time and set it aside and just commune with the Father and be strengthened and re-enlivened through that prayer to refuel you. And in Mark chapter 1, Mark says that Jesus would rise early, often before dawn, and go to a quiet place for prayer. Luke 6 shows that other times he would just go bush. He'd head up the mountain and pray at times all night. Well, that's setting the bar kind of high, but that's hard for me. I mean, I've done those things occasionally, but I can't do them on a regular basis. For me, prayer is, well, I'm just chatting with God. I'm literally talking with him often. Throughout the day, he's like a constant companion. And yes, there are other times where I'll pause with greater need and just pause and quieten myself and listen. Yes. But good habit number one, here it is, write this down. Good habit number one is prayer and regular. It's a habit. Now, I don't want you to think prayer is not a religious extra, okay? It's a daily dependence. It's a daily dependence on the Father. And if we see here in Scripture, as we do so often, that Jesus withdrew to pray, how much more us? Guys, come on. How much more us, infirm man, with the pressures that we have, the temptations that we have, the weariness that we have at the end of the day, how much more us? Prayer keeps us near to God. Prayer humbles us. Prayer strengthens us. It builds our faith and it keeps us connected with the source of our hope. Have you got your phone handy? I don't want you to call me, but if you've got your phone handy, I want you to put it onto airplane mode for me. And then try and make a call. It's not going to work, is it? It's not connected. So it is with prayer. If there's no prayer, boy, that connection is missing. So if we look at now us as men, and please don't be defeated by this. The ideas that I bring forward are just that, ideas. They are things for you to be praying about. They are things for you to consider, to give thought to. If you're not doing this already, don't be defeated. I want you to figure out what works for you. I pray on and off throughout the day, just talking to God, always though in the evening. I pray for my children as they go to bed. I pray for my wife as she goes to bed. I pray for protection on the property as I lock the doors each night, each and every single night. It's a simple daily habit. I didn't always have this habit. That's new. But these are the ways in which I pray. You need to work out what actually works for you, that daily rhythm, 5-10 minutes a day, whenever it happens. And if this is new to you, I'll give you the example perhaps of, say, the Lord's Prayer. Don't kick off with, oh God, I need this. I mean, hey, if you're in trouble, Lord, I need help. Yes. But that regular daily rhythm that I'm talking about starts with praise. Thank you. Father, thank you for everything that you are doing in my life. Even when I don't see it, I thank you. And if you've got things that you need to say, Father, forgive me for my flesh. It wasn't a good day. I did this. I said this. I thought that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Bring it to him, that confession. And then thanks and praise, they go together. Then requests. So if you're taking the notes, praise, confession, thanks, requests. Look at them like that. Let me give you a few ideas. I want you to, number one, pray specifically for home, man of the house. Pray specifically for home. Number two, listen carefully to this one. Pray for purity. Pray for also work witness, number three. And then number four, pray for at least one brother in Christ by name every single day. These are good examples to follow. Come back to 1 Peter for me. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to dig in there just a little bit deeper. This is a beautiful little section of Scripture, and I absolutely love it. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to go read from verse 22. Might break them down a bit as we go. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Since you have, meaning now that you have, this is an assumption that we're looking at just here. Have what? Well, have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And there's that word again. Purity. I got a question. But have you? Just food for thought. Have you? Have you set about within yourself a decision to desire things of purity? Purity in your thinking? Purity in how you talk? Purity in how you walk? These things are part of our faith as it grows in Christ. Now, it comes. If this hasn't happened, again, I put my hand up and say, took me all too long in my walk in Christ, all too long to realize how important this was. But since you have, it says, when? This is the question. I know I'm supposed to think like this, Lord, but how? What happens in order for it to happen? This is what I was missing. Well, there's a point. A point that comes of conviction, of truth in our hearts. So let me just explore that thought one moment. Truth. What is truth? What is truth in Scripture? Well, John 4 says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 8, you shall know the truth, Jesus says, and what? The truth shall set you free. John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the truth. Jesus revealed through Scripture. This is what we obey in looking to purify our souls. It comes from the reading of the Word, Christ revealed. Now listen carefully back to 1 Peter. Therefore, love one another, he writes, fervently, with a pure heart. Oh, boy. Folks, it's all about love. It really is. It's all about love. Jesus himself said it, John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another, he says. By this, here's the key, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And Paul said, if we have not love, we are but a clanging cymbal. One of our pastors gave a beautiful message on Sunday. The Lion of Judah, how we, with Christ inside, we are to roar, not be a timid one, but to roar and to know our place, our faith in Christ. But if you have not love, you can roar all you like and you are just a clanging cymbal, folks. Love is the key. Love is the key. Now, for some of us, we might ask the question, and is valid, why? Why should we love? Well, here's the answer, verse 23, 1 Peter. Because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And folks, that's this word, the Logos, the living word, the eternal word. It is by this word that we are born again when it is spoken into our lives and it lives in us and it lives and abides forever. Because it says, verse 24, all flesh, it's as grass. The glory of man, it's as a flower of the grass. So yes, there's some glory. But take note, the grass withers and the flower falls away. But listen carefully, verse 25, the word of the Lord endures forever. This, he says, is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. And so good habit number two, if you haven't figured it out already, is read the word. If you want to grow in faith, you must read the word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. What? Hearing by the word of God. A man's faith, it weakens when the word is sidelined, but grows when it is daily food. Man shall not live by bread alone, we read in Matthew 4. But Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we're not going to go into the Logos and the Rhema and all the different things, the understanding, the spoken word versus the word that dwells within, but understand this. And this is interesting. Here in this section of Scripture, Peter actually uses both of them, but producing the same result. We need to read the word, so important, as a daily habit. So if you're not doing this already, okay, I get it. I struggled with this for so long. I can't even begin to explain, and I don't know why it was so difficult. But it was. Not anymore. Praise God. Something happened in the middle there, and it was my desire to see this change. So start small. If you're not doing this already, just start small. A chapter a day. Maybe here, 1 Peter, chapter 1. Start there, a chapter a day. And then go to a gospel. I would recommend if you're just starting, go to Luke. I'm doing a series on Luke on my YouTube channel at the moment. Just expanding it and just helping people to grow and to understand and build their faith by reading it. Go to Luke and then go through Acts and so on. But there are three questions I'd like you to ask yourself as you do. Number one. What does it teach about God? Number two, what does it expose in me? And number three, what do I have to do about these things? See, here's the key. Good habit number one is prayer. We need to connect with God. Good habit number two is reading of the word. We need to hear from him. And then good habit number three, if you haven't guessed it already, fellowship. Yep, this is what wraps it up, brings it all together. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for me. Hebrews chapter 10, just a couple of verses. I'd love to go through this whole lot with you some other time, and we will, I'm sure. But for now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love. There's that word again. To stir up love and good works. And James actually tells us a little bit about good works, that if we should see someone in need, a brother or sister in need, and not do it, not help them. No, that's not good works. That's the exact opposite of good works. But we're told here not to forsake, verse 25, the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's, you know, encouraging one another, lifting up each other. So much more. So much the more, I should say, as you see the day approaching. Look, I can't see you right now, but I ask this in the men's break. Quick show of hands. How many of you actually think, how much you actually feel that we are really coming towards those last days of before Jesus returns? Yeah, my hand goes up for that. It says here, so much more as you see the day, that day approaching, are we to encourage and lift one another up. And here's the key. And I say this, I hope, with a gentle heart. God strengthens believers in and through fellowship. He just does. Isolation, it makes us vulnerable. Fellowship brings encouragement, accountability. It brings correction sometimes. Also shared strength. Remember Ecclesiastes 4, I think it is? The threefold cord is the strongest. That's what fellowship is. The problem, and I have walked in these shoes, and that's why I get to say it. The problem is most of us, while happy with some of the things that are on that list, we're not happy with the others. We're happy with encouragement, yeah. Not so happy with accountability. We're happy to correct, not so happy to be corrected. And we love the idea of strength, the threefold cord, but we don't want to be seen as weak. Truth of the matter is this, folks, I have learned, in order to grow in faith and to grow in Christ, that correction is necessary sometimes. And I have learned, oh boy, through my experience, it is so much better to be corrected by a man than it is by God. Because such correction from man, it's lighter, it's less burdensome. In Hebrews 13, we are also told, this is part of this whole great section in Scripture, we are told to remember those who lead us. We are told to follow their good example of faith. Which is why we are told to obey them, to submit to them, as they, listen carefully, as they then will be held accountable to God. I mean, look, I get it. If you prefer, we can just go back a chapter into Hebrews 12 and say, hey, Lord, I just want you to correct me yourself. But Hebrews 12 tells us we should not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do not be discouraged. And I'm unpacking this from five different verses altogether. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do not be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For it produces, listen to this, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness by those who have been trained in it, by those who have been shaped by it. You ever had to shape a fruit tree as it's going? Snip, snip, snip. That's what it's like being shaped in our faith, trained in it. And I mean, I do understand. I really do. If you think that your faith is greater than the man out the front, if you think that your love for the saints is greater than that man out the front, if you think, honestly, that your work for the gospel is greater, by all means, ask God to be the one who corrects and chastens you. Either way, if you should stand firm after the correction, be it from man or be it from God, that beautiful fruit of righteousness, that is what comes. We read it here in Scripture, comes from godly correction. After the pruning, after the training, after the fertilizing, after the watering, after the pruning for that man who patiently waits along upon the Lord, this beautiful fruit of righteousness. This is the thing that for me, I used to have a picture in my head for so long going, Lord, I can see what it's meant to be, but I don't know how to get there. It came through correction, and I needed it. I did. Sadly, I took it from God before I then allowed the easier path through man. Just, hey, if you can learn from me, please do in that manner. But here's the key. It comes through fellowship. It's not a social club when we get together. It's for a purpose. Faith grows as we walk closely, closely. That threefold knot. As we walk closely with the saints, not just attending church, but actually genuinely sharing in life in Christ. And if you get this analogy, please hear this. There is no place for Ronan in the church. None. So, what do we do with it? Well, we commit to a church. I honestly don't care what church you go to. If they preach Christ and Christ crucified, raised from the dead 3 days later, the Holy Spirit then poured out at Pentecost, saved through grace by faith, I don't care what church you go to if they preach Jesus Christ in his fullness. Any church. But go consistently, will you, please? Not just a Sunday. But if you can, a midweek group, a connect group as well, along the side. And then for now, once you have that, find a brother, choose a brother, approach them directly for honest, regular checkups and prayer. And then when you're doing that, find a way to serve alongside others. Now, don't misunderstand me here. There is some in the modern church who'll say, oh, you know, you're not really saved unless you're serving. Wrong. But serving in church, it deepens the tie with those who are in your team, with fellowship of those local believers and brothers. I tell you now, as we see the day approaching, we are going to need this. Hear me when I say it. We are going to need this. Get in there now. Build the strength in fellowship now. And for goodness sake, stop nitpicking. I know. Oh, listen to what he said. Oh, listen to what, look at what they did. I know. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Encouraging one another, lifting up one another, so much more as we see that day approaching. You want to count the problems in the local church? Too many to count. You want to count the problems in the New Testament church? It's what those epistles are for. Too many to count. There are problems. They're not yours. You are. You and your walk with Christ. He wants to strengthen you, and this is one way in which it can happen. Each of these things, it reflects that threefold cord. Strength together. So what do we do with these things? What do we do? How do we wrap this up? Simply this. God has given us, new life. Through his enduring and living word. And as we come into this new year, it's January as I record this, as we come into the new year, I don't want you to rely on just goals, my new this, my new that. You know, these are the things I'm going to do as I come into the new year. No. I want you to adopt three simple habits. These are habits that build faith. Prayer. Regular, consistent. Just chatting with God. Lord God, thank you for being with me. Reading of the word. What do you have to show me today? And fellowship. Lord, how can I grow, help and encourage others with that love? That's what it's all about, folks. Without the love, we are but clanging cymbals. It doesn't matter what they do. You. This message is for you, not for them. I pray you take it to heart. Have a listen again if you haven't taken some notes. Maybe you will. Three things. Easy to do. God bless. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.